All right, positive Wednesday. Feeling good here in Toronto. Overdrive off and running. TSN 1050 on the TSN app, your home smart speaker, and up on TSN 4. Brian Hayes, the O-Dog, Jeff O'Neill, Jamie Noodles McLennan, because we've had a bit of a flashback the past couple of days. You know, over the past 3 or 4 years, the Maple Leafs have broken some hearts in this town, and the Raptors have just found a way to battle and win games, and we saw that last night. So the Raptors are in a good spot. The Maple Leafs have an opportunity at redemption tonight, and pitchers and catchers reporting all throughout baseball, including the Blue Jays down in Dunedin. So nothing but positive vibes. Feeling it on a Wednesday.
There you go.
How positive can pitchers and catchers be? At least I hope there's no nonsense like last year with pitchers and catchers.
With one catcher in particular, is that what you're talking about?
Let's not get into detail, but let's
just
keep it clear. Let's keep things non-about. Is he still around, or where is that guy?
Oh, yeah, Reese's piece is still down there kicking.
This guy was enjoying himself in a private moment, but a not so private.
He thought it was private. My understanding is he was of the impression it was private because most parking lots at 2 o'clock, you know, during the week would be private. I guess.
Wasn't 2 o'clock in the morning, wasn't it?
No, it was 2 o'clock in the afternoon. The sun was up.
Unless he has a car with curtains. Do you remember those old vans? Like those, like, scary, creepy vans that had the windows with the curtains?
Like Scooby-Doo's vans.
Yeah, Scooby-Doo.
Why is anyone wanting to gear down and put the curtains up in their van and, like, stay home? Like, just
maybe he had a busy household. Like, maybe there was something going on at home.
Anyway, we don't want to get into that guy, but we hope he's on the other side of it and feeling okay.
Yeah, he needs a big camp. I think that goes without saying. He needs to have a big camp, and we'll see. You know, we'll get our reports. And it's not going to be the same as really any other year because I don't think any media will be down there. Like, maybe the Blue Jays media will be down. I guess maybe MLB.com. Maybe the other guys are sending people down. But generally speaking, there would be a horde of media that would get down there. It's the best gig going. Go down to Dunedin for like 5 weeks. You're in Florida. It's awesome.
Yeah, but if you're covering the Jays and they're staying in Florida, Bri, why wouldn't the media go down there?
I guess it's a possibility, but I haven't seen anyone announce that they are going down there.
But because you're doing media over Zoom now. You're not doing media. Like, you can't be in the building. So
that's true.
Doesn't matter. Like, you can do media from anywhere. Case in point, us. Like, where you don't need to be. And all the Maple Leafs. Maple Leafs, Mark Masters, and I know he is, I believe, in the building, but he's not anywhere near the players. Nowhere near. You're not. The protocol is you can't even... Even if you saw a player, you couldn't stop and chat with them, even if
what
you had a relationship with them.
If that were to take place, who would get in trouble? In other words, let's use our buddy Mark Masters. If Mark is walking down, you know, front, and he sees Austin Matthews, can he go up to Austin and say, hey, you know, great start to the season, how are you guys feeling? Or
as long as he doesn't do a tight bro hug and, like, start close talking, that's creepy to begin with. But he's allowed to say, hey, man, what's going on?
Hug.
That's not a workspace, though. That's not a workspace. What I'm saying is if he goes to Scotiabank Center, and there are times where you do – I'm lying. You don't cross paths with the players. They go in their own entrance. They're their own entity. Media, off-ice officials. Like, I've gone through the protocol. It is – as stringent as you've ever seen. Temperature checks, filling out paperwork. You go up in an elevator, two at a time that are multiple distance apart. Like, they are on top of it. So Mark Masters would not have an opportunity to see Austin Matthews at the rink. Like, unless Austin Matthews decided to take a walk up in the top corridor somewhere.
Yeah, but didn't you just say outside, Hayes, on the street?
I did say outside. I think...
Well,
I get
the
impression
you're allowed to say hi to a guy.
I don't know. I think you can. It's not like the NHL could ban Masters or anyone. But I wouldn't be surprised if the players were told, no stopping chats. Like, you just go out there. If you're walking your dog, you walk your dog. You do a wave or whatever, and you do not come in contact with anybody.
So you're telling me, you think Austin Matthews, if Masters just said, "Hey, Austin, how's it going?" It's like. Agent, call TSN and report that Mark.
No, I'm not saying report. I think it would be a walk-by. I don't think it would be a stop and chat. It may not be anyway. you know, in a regular era to begin with. But I just get the impression like they're basically being told.
Yeah. If I know the way the Maple Leafs do things as far as this stuff, Brian, I'm pretty sure, and this is nothing against other organizations, but I'm pretty sure that they have a program down that's second to none. Like,
right,
it's like this is how us as an organization are going to do this. This is how our players, this is the code of conduct. This is where you can and can't go. And it wouldn't shock me if it's in the top two or three team. Like, the way they're operating under COVID, it's top shelf. Everything is.
I agree. I don't disagree with that sentiment at all. Like, I don't know if Austin Matthews, if he goes for a walk, like, there would have to be... I'm sure he has security anyways. I'm sure. I don't know.
Not walking I have no his idea. Dog. I mean,
but I'm saying, okay, he goes and walks his dog, but there's, I'm sure he's mindful of it. Like, he's not going, what's the name of the grocery store underneath the Real Sports there?
Longo's.
He's not going to Longo's. Like, I would.
I've seen Maple Leafs in there before.
Right, but not in a pandemic.
Not during COVID. I hear what you're saying.
To O's point, it wouldn't surprise me that the players, that's off limits. Like, I would think they would have groceries delivered. I think that their spouses would maybe do some of the stuff if they have them. But that's under lock and key. Right now, everything is so mindful and so much under scrutiny. I'm sure they go to a dog park. I'm sure they go for walks just to get fresh air. You need that for sanity. But I think there's no harm if you have a relationship with somebody. If Austin Matthews knows Mark Masters and they see each other at the dog park, I think it's like a polite, hey, how are you?
I don't think they would say hi to him on a good day.
I would.
Not. I mean, that'd be a great scoop, though. Like, who can get access to a player right now? It is, you can't penetrate that bubble. You cannot get up close and personal. And I'd like to get that answer, you know, in a candid moment. They're not going to say it publicly with mics and with cameras around them. But how different has the past 48 hours been, that experience, compared to meltdowns in years past? Because after a 6-5 loss like they saw a couple of nights ago, you'd have every news outlet, you'd have every paper represented, you'd have bloggers down there. Everyone would be down at the MasterCard Center or whatever and trying to get a scoop. You know, what happened?
Yeah.
Why'd you choke there? Why'd you fail? There's no scrum. You know,
right.
Like, we've had some of the best audio we've ever played on this show has been courtesy of an awkward moment in a scrum.
Right.
Now
you're right.
I think cooler heads would ultimately prevail because of where they are in the standings. They're a good team. They lost in overtime. They didn't get dummied 9-1 or something like that. But it would have been a very different mood around the team the past 2 days.
Sure.
You know, like, they've been insulated from it. Yeah, you got to do a Zoom call or whatever. But for the most part, they can just keep it in-house. Who cares about what's going on? Like, you can actually call it white noise now.
Right.
They've called that white noise forever. Oh, white noise, white noise. That noise comes into your room. You open up the room, the white noise is coming in. That white noise cannot get to you.
It's like a stereo in the background. Like,
right,
it is.
It's always
loud.
Around.
Right.
But now with COVID protocols, you can just cut everything out.
Right.
If you have that capability. I don't know if I would. You know, I'd probably still be on Twitter or on Instagram or maybe watching TSN or whatever. But if you have the ability to completely cut the outside world out, the COVID protocols are going to help you accomplish that.
But guys aren't dummies. And you know what? Everyone says that I don't read the media. I don't listen to that. You do. I can think of. You speak up, even Brian. You speak up, guys that you know and played with and all of that type of stuff. Off the top of your head, can you name five guys that 100% have no idea what's going on in the league, no idea that don't watch TV, read books, do all of that stuff? Like, I can think of two players that I played with in my 17-year career.
I can only think of one player. Bates Pataglia. He didn't watch hockey. He didn't read the paper. He didn't know. He was just like, he was a professional hockey player, and he was good at it, and he showed up to the rink. He would do his job. But as far as, like, any of that, none.
Yeah.
Nothing.
But I think it's a lot easier to do it now is what I'm saying. I think there may have been some players that were wired that way, but then the room opens up and someone comes to the, you know, gets a mic in the front of their face and goes, we've noticed you haven't scored in four games.
Yeah,
and people are wondering
curious.
Why. And then it's like, oh, so that's what people are talking about? That I've been awful? Okay, let's talk about that. And then it's in your head. You can get that via Zoom, but I get the impression it's basically the usual suspects every day. It's Tavares, Matthews, Riley, Marner. Right. Really might come out from time to time. You know, it's not like Travis Boyd has a big lineup of Zoom requests
if
right
you're
now.
You're a depth player. You just do your job, and you'd never have to deal with
you
the
You could go about
you're
your business.
Doing, no, yeah, you're never doing between periods. You're never doing after practice. You just go and bust your ass every day, and that's your deal. You're
you
never
know what,
dealing
Brian,
with anything.
You're right. Like, there hasn't been a massive separation because it's not there personally. Because I've been in the dressing room. Oh, we've all been in the dressing room where there's a scrum of 100 people, and it doesn't matter if you're the player not being talked to. There is some spillover that all of a sudden Travis Boyd does get asked a question because he's sitting right there getting undressed. So somebody may mosey on over to him and go, you know, what do you think? And, you know, you go at it different angles. Whereas with Zoom, it's we're asking for player X, Y, and Z, and that's it. These are the guys available. And if there is a guy that has not been available all year, it's not because he hasn't been available. It's that the media hasn't asked for them.
Right. And like Thornton would be another guy that you can add to that list. But I feel like we're missing out on Joe Thornton, like in a lot of ways, in terms of his personality, in terms of him. Yeah, the scrum, like a Saturday night scrum, him as a Maple Leaf, would be 20, 30, 40 deep every single weekend. And based on his personality, he'd probably sit back 20 minutes every Saturday and give you gold. And now it's just not going to be as comfortable over Zoom, and it's just not going to have the same rhythm. But we're used to it. It is what it is. But I thought about that today, how different it might feel. Like, it's not different for us. Our show is our show. You know, we react to the games. We talk about it. We bring the necessary passion and viewpoints or whatever. But the day-to-day grind inside the rink is just completely foreign to what reality is at this point.
Yeah, it is. And I miss it. I got to be honest. I do miss it. I love that hockey's back. We all respect the protocols. But it is nice to go to the rink and see familiar faces from another team and a little stop and chat. And, you know, I've got history with guys now. They're in management and coaching and scouting and stuff. And those are the stop and chats that I miss after the first period where, you know, you see a scout from Tampa that you played with and, you know, you get 10 minutes in with them and you feel like you
turn
back the clock.
You've reconnected and you probably learned something too,
You get a nugget from like, oh, you know what? Like, they never ever tell you. This is the funny thing. And I have this thought process with all of my buddies throughout the league. Like, I'm not an insider. I'm not a reporter. So, you know, if I'm asking about something, I'm asking for my knowledge for analysis. But in their mind, they're like, this is going, I'm handing this to Bobby Mack, or I'm handing it to Dregs or Pierre. And sometimes you have to have those relationships where, you know, the conversation stops right there. But I think in their mind, they're like, you're media. Even though I know, you know, I've spent nights at your house and all of that type of stuff, there's that relationship.
That's
they still have to be mindful.
Yeah, I get that. I understand that. And I think there's a lot that is we're going to see where this all goes, you know, the sports world, and not only on the inside of the room, but the outside of the rink, you know, like, are scalpers still going to be around in a year or two? Ticket stubs. Is it going to go all digital or is it going to be ticket stubs? I was thinking about it, doing the wave around my kitchen table with the kids the other day. Like, is the wave going to survive? Are we going to come back and do the wave?
No, we are so far from the wave. I can't, like,
I love the wave.
People don't want to even. I do too.
I got no problem with
the
wave.
People don't even want to sit beside each other right now. The wave is the farthest thing from what. Now,
but at some point, you got to give me this. You got to tell me it's coming back. We're going to have the wave again.
2 years from now. But all I could think about is playoff hockey in Canada. And I'm sure it's in Toronto, but I think it's other rinks too where they pass around the giant flag.
Right.
Right?
Of course.
But think of the germs on that flag.
Oh, yeah.
Everyone, I can't do that.
Everyone
forever,
pull
though.
That thing tight to the ground so all the germs come into it.
That's
think
what
of
I mean.
The
like,
germs on the flag.
Somebody's, you know, somebody has gone to the bath. There's a poppy out there that has gone to the bathroom, hasn't washed his hands. He's got his hands on the flag. He's passing it down.
Guess
that's
what? That happened before COVID.
I know that, but we never, ever cared.
Well,
that's the point.
Yeah, I guess so. I don't plan on caring again. When I get back in
I
that building,
so
I'm going. I'm, you know, 0-60 and quick
perfect.
Time.
Yeah.
But Leafs Ottawa tonight, and I guess it's a chance at redemption. I fully expect a win tonight, but they better not be going into it thinking that. They go in with the wrong mentality, they'll get burned tonight because Ottawa's probably feeling like, hey, we can embarrass some people here. We can continue to chip away. We can get a couple of points. And I am quite curious to see what the Leafs have in store tonight. Freddie Anderson will play, which is, I think, the right move. We all discussed it yesterday. Yeah. Go with him tonight. Go with him Saturday. I got to believe Hutchinson goes tomorrow night. But what if you lose tonight? If you lose tonight, do you go back to Freddie tomorrow?
No.
That is where it gets sticky.
I say no.
I wouldn't either.
Because you know what? They've, including last Saturday's game against Montreal, that's 5 games in 7 nights. Like, you can't run this guy into the ground. What you're trying to do is manage his body to make sure that, yes, you have a great regular season, but you hopefully have a long run. That's the problem. You start chasing things and, oh, you know what, we got to change our mindset because of this and because of that. I think the sign of a quality coach, the sign of you know, a quality organization is also patience and confidence.
I agree.
It's not panicking and going, you know what, we lost tonight and we got to change this and change that. Like,
just like a day off, it's got to be automatic whether you lose or win or whatever. Yeah. It's like, if it's Hutch, it's like you're going tomorrow night.
Yeah.
So
and
you
know
what?
I don't
care if Freddie gets a shutout or he stinks the joint out, you're playing. End of story.
Exactly. And then here's the other thing. Why all of a sudden is Michael Hutchinson not expected to go win a game? Like, it's not like, hey, night off, and that's, you know, that's your third goalie, so it doesn't matter. We're throwing those 2 points out the window. No.
No,
your job is to go win games and to stay in this league. So that's what the message from the coach or the goalie coach is. You got an opportunity to play. There's a reason why we signed you to. He's making a lot of money. He's on a one-way contract. I think it's $700 or $750. Like, he's not here just to be.
Well,
you know,
and furthermore,
dummy.
Even if he does, okay, then the team go score 6.
Exactly.
Or 7. Because I'm assuming Hogberg is playing tomorrow night if Matt Murray's going tonight. So you're going to get a backup in Ottawa. You're still playing Ottawa, the worst team in the division. And I don't care if Hutchinson gives up 7 tomorrow night. You win 8-7. Like, you've got firepower to do it. So we'll keep teeing up the game tonight. Who we have a spotlight on tonight as well in terms of specific players in the lineup. The Raptors with just a gutsy win last night. Kyle Lowry got injured, missed, you know, a good portion of the second half. Fred VanVleet continues to play like an elite guard. Anunoby return looked great. And that, I think, surpasses the Brooklyn win from a couple of weeks ago. You know, both on the road, both against quality opponents. And I'm starting to get a little bit greedy here with the Eastern Conference because it is not a quality conference. I am not scared of any team in this conference outside of Brooklyn if they're motivated.
Really?
If Brooklyn is motivated.
And they gave up 125.
A week and a half ago, we were scratching and clawing. This team was looking up from rock bottom. Like, rock bottom was up there. So
yeah,
now all of a sudden you're greedy a week and a half later.
Here's my read on the situation.
This could better be good.
I have a feeling this is where Masai Ujiri is a little snake in the grass, and I mean that as a compliment, where he's just sneakily hanging around in the background, hanging around. And I wonder if he's assessing the East and saying, we're a piece away from a run, like a piece away, if you're healthy. If you're healthy, Vananobi's healthy, Lowry, VanVleet, Siakam. Those four have got to be healthy. And Norman Powell, who is the most inconsistent player maybe in the NBA, has got to be hot too. So you got to have a couple of things going for you here. But if they could find another piece and a piece of substance, I don't know who that is. I don't have a name for you right now. I wouldn't be shocked at all if Masai Ujiri looked at this team and moreover looked at the Eastern Conference and said, who scares me right now?
Dude,
Milwaukee
I just,
doesn't. Philly doesn't.
Brooklyn?
Brooklyn does if they decide to play. If they defend, the nature of the NBA works this way. If you have the most talent and you work hard, you generally win. And Brooklyn cannot be matched. I don't think the Raptors can beat them if the big three are playing, they're healthy, they're determined, and they batten down the hatches and they start defending properly. That happens. Right. Brooklyn is going to be a very difficult out. I expect they'll represent the East in the NBA final. If it doesn't, who else scares you? Who else in the East?
I think it's a
Philly?
It's a garbage take.
No.
It's
Philly
a
doesn't scare
take.
You?
This team on Sunday night lost to Minnesota. They're 7-20. They suck, and they beat the Raptors. And all of a sudden, You're this a hero today saying.
This is positive Wednesday, Brian. That's what it is. He's bringing the heat today because it's positive Wednesday.
It's like
that's
he worked out once and said, I could bench press 7,000 pounds. They lost to Minnesota Sunday. Like, come on, man. So,
and the Leafs lost to Ottawa two nights ago. I don't think the Leafs are going to miss the playoffs. I mean,
I know that's not the same thing.
Listen,
they've been coming up with silly losses all year long.
They have been. They've been largely inconsistent. They started 2-8. They lost to Minnesota.
Nothing scares you.
I'm saying that that's based on the other teams in the East. I'm not talking about the Raptors necessarily with this assessment. What I'm saying is I could see Masai Ujiri looking at this scenario and saying, why not us? Why not us? Like, if you add another piece with the four guys I mentioned that are in this core, Nick Nurse, who is, in my opinion, the best coach in the Eastern Conference, who scares you? Outside of a determined Brooklyn, who scares you?
It's going to be the same thing for me. In the years past, it was Kyle, it was DeMar, and all of a sudden, guess who was in Cleveland that would beat their ass every time?
Where is that guy?
LeBron.
Yeah, he's gone. He's in L.A. But you know what? Any road will lead right to Kevin Durant and right to Kyrie Irving, and they will beat their ass every time.
I'll say this.
Who are they going to add? And I know Brooklyn gives up 135 a night, which is bizarre, and they still kind of sneak wins out. But the Raps ain't dealing with that. They're not doing that.
Well, I'll throw it the other way. I know we got a break. There's probably other teams that feel they're one win away going, Toronto doesn't scare us. You know, that team doesn't scare us.
Toronto doesn't scare anybody, I guarantee
you.
Well,
I'm just saying, like, I think to your point, like, if Masai's hanging in the weeds, I think there's probably one or two other managers looking at that same landscape going, if Brooklyn gets their act together, they're the team to beat. But other than that, maybe we're worth one piece away.
We're talking to Matty D later. I am going to start to question.
I see what you're saying.
You go ahead. That's what I'm saying.
I'm going to say, what do you think? Because on Monday, this guy thought the Raptors stunk.
I never said that. I said it was an awful loss.
Excuse me. They lost to the worst team in the league. And you had your hands in the air saying, I don't know what these guys.
Inexcusable
and
loss.
Today, no one scares you. So I'm going to ask Matty D. This person has problems with his vision of this team. Can you help steer
Nobody
him in the right
me.
Direction?
And I'm not saying the Raptors are the boogeyman either. I'm saying Toronto, Philly, Milwaukee, Boston, Indiana, maybe Miami if they get their act together.
Dude, you're your own boogeyman. You're your own boogeyman.
No, I'm not. I'm seeing the world clear, man. I'm Neo at the end of the movies where all of a sudden it all connects. It all connects for him. Everything.
You're limitless. You're Bradley Cooper and limitless right now. You could just see everything.
It's very clear for me.
No, you're the caddy in the Adam Sandler movie. That's what you are.
Billy Madison? The other one.
I know who you're talking about. Yes. The caddy, the homeless guy.
Happy Gilmore.
Yeah.
With the beard.
Ray Ferraro will join us just after 5. Mike Soroka coming up from the Atlanta Braves. Good Calgary boy.
Yes.
He went through his arbitration case. He's getting paid. He's coming off a really gruesome injury, though. We'll see how he feels before he steps in for physicals down in Atlanta. So we'll catch up with Mike. We're looking forward to that. Matt Devlin will join us later in the afternoon as well. Overdrive continues. TSN 1050 and on TSN 4.
The Sens Hayes says, we win tonight. No one, we're afraid of no one. We'll make a move and we'll be all set in the North Division.
So you think the Ottawa Senators compare to the Toronto Raptors?
No.
Who is the dummy now? I know you just said that I had the worst take.
Dude, like I told you, man, I talk to people that you have no idea who I talk to.
Oh, really?
Really. Yeah. And I'm not even kidding around.
Billy the Uber driver, Gary the doorman. Yeah, I don't know them. I'm not familiar. Introduce me one day.
So the guys that I know that I talk to is an Uber driver.
Gary the doorman. Well, we should come up with a name. Gary the doorman. Nice.
I told you, man. You have no idea, so I'm not going
to
get it.
What does that have to do with the comparison?
I'm just saying people in the know that the Raptors don't scare anyone. Well, ask Matty D. He'll be honest and tell you the same thing.
They
just lost to Minnesota on Sunday.
I didn't say the Raptors scare people. I said the Raptors should not be scared of anyone in the East outside of a motivated defensive Brooklyn team. And I don't think Milwaukee should be scared. I don't think Philly should be scared. But I look at the East, and I don't see many impressive teams. I don't. I see a bunch of flawed teams, Raptors included in that, absolutely.
Right.
But what I'm saying is I could see Masai looking at this thinking, maybe it's not a lost season. Like, maybe if we add a piece, all of a sudden we get a little bit further up the chain, you win a couple of rounds, and maybe that's
worth it. I would like to
it.
See that too, Brian. But the other talk, I think he got a little bit out of control. And by the way, if you want to call me this evening, I'll let you know who the people that I speak to regarding these situations.
Okay. I'm quite curious. I will call you tonight at 7 o'clock, and I want a full list of who you talk to. You know who we're about to talk to?
A stud.
Absolutely.
Yes.
The pride of Calgary.
Yeah.
Mike Soroka, he's back. He's coming off a big injury. He just went through the arbitration case. He's about to step in and get his physical from the Atlanta Braves back on Overdrive. Here is Mike Soroka. How you doing, Mike?
I'm good, guys. Thank you for having me on again.
Yeah, thank you for doing this. How you feeling? You blew out your Achilles last year. You're only a few starts into the season, but it sounds like you're back and you're ready to rock. How you feeling these days?
I am. I'm very close. I'm about 6 months out right now, just passed. So it's kind of about the time where things kind of start to click in again. And, it couldn't be better timing with spring training getting going. And, it's basically only a couple of restrictions that I'm on right now. We're basically just waiting to sprint. And once that comes along, then I don't have to worry about sprinting to go get a bunt or, a weak chopper or something like that. So it's all getting exciting. I've been off the mound more than a few times now. And, I just can't wait to get back in games at this point.
Brian just mentioned the ARP case. I went through that with the Carolina Hurricanes, and quite honestly, it was the most miserable experience of my professional sporting career. How was that? Can you take us through that situation and how you dealt with it?
Yeah, it's different. I don't know how it compared with hockey, but I'm sure probably pretty similarly.
Basically, I had to sit in a boardroom, and they said I was the worst player in the league. And the NHLPA sat on my behalf and said, this guy's not that bad. And then they said, no. And then they compared me to the other worst players in the league. And I was almost in tears, man. I was like, I'd never want to play for that team again. It sounds like yours wasn't that bad.
No, I think, for the most part, we kind of knew what we were going to get going in. My team, my agency, and lawyers were quite experienced, and they kind of had a good idea of what MLB was going to come out with, and the Braves, obviously. But really the question was quality versus quantity. I just haven't pitched much, and that's something that I can understand. I can sit there and listen to them say I haven't pitched, because it's true. I've had two seasons that injuries have kind of prevented me from being out there, but it's really just kind of where we felt we needed to go, and during the negotiations and stuff like that, we obviously saw things a little differently, but I'm very, very thankful the ARB panel saw it the way we did, and we came away with a win.
We're chatting with Mike Soroka of the Atlanta Braves. Today, I believe, is, I want to say, the 11th year anniversary of Jose Bautista signing his deal. He signed, a five-year deal, $64 million. That was after he hit 54 bombs. And there were people up in Toronto saying he didn't necessarily bet on himself. Like, he had not done that at any point in his career. But 54 home runs, the Jays offered him a bunch of money. He took it, but he just kept getting better and better and better. He didn't necessarily hit 54 home runs again, but he was a superstar in the league. In terms of your own team, Ronald Acuña, your teammate, he signed that monster deal, like a 10-year deal, I believe, after his rookie year. Where do you stand on that, Mike? Like, if Alex Anthopoulos came to you and said, we want to lock you up long-term, but maybe not at the money you're hoping for, would you want that type of security, or would you want to, quote-unquote, bet on yourself and say, I'm going to go win a couple Cy Youngs, and you're really going to have to pay me down the road?
Yeah, I mean, it's tough to really look. I mean, you really got to look at individual situations. I mean, one thing you always got to understand is that someone like Ronald and Ozzy, who did sign those deals, they came up with, a different upbringing than we did. I'm very fortunate to have grown up in a household that kind of understood how to manage money and understood what money looks like, So it's kind of a different atmosphere growing up in so far as a lot of us. You can say that doesn't matter where you grew up. And I think that plays a big part of it. And you can always understand a guy taking something that's for sure. I mean, those guys set up their families for the rest of their lives. And, it's special. But, every situation is a little bit different. Obviously, mine is a little different right now, having not even thrown that much. we feel there's a lot of ways that I can go, and sometimes betting on yourself is what you need to do. I think it's pretty well proven, or at least it's shown really well, that players that manage to take those one-year contracts and bet on themselves, and kind of kicks you in a new gear. It's why you always see guys succeed, have their best years the year before being a free agent. It always just kind of keeps you sharp 100% of the time. You know, it's sometimes tough to do that. You know, you play 162 games, you pitch 33 games a season. You can say you're locked in on every single pitch, but whether you truly are or not sometimes just depends on what you got playing for you. So it always differs, and you know, obviously if it comes down the line and that's something that you know, is fair and we're interested in, then I mean, of course, I'll never say I won't talk about that, because I'd be lying.
Pitchers and catchers report, you know, when you get to training camp, is there, I guess, that moment, it's COVID protocols nowadays, but where you walk through, I guess, the door and you see guys that you haven't seen in a couple months, and is there that kind of, oh, wow moment? Maybe there's one or two guys where you can tell they haven't done a darn thing in the off season, where they've been feeding the whole time. I mean, I used to go to training camp, and you could tell that guys would maybe put 10 pounds of muscle on. They look a little different. Their bodies look a little different. But there was also that one or two guys that you're like, okay, this guy hasn't done anything, or he's been on Slim Fast for the last 7 days just trying to shed as much weight as he can before he has the weigh-in. Have you ever experienced that type of process as well?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, no, every spring training. I mean, it's fun to walk in there and see the guys, and especially the guys that, you know, have re-signed, like Marcel. We'll see Marcel again, and obviously knowing that it's a for sure thing that he's going to be around for the next 5 years, I guess, is understanding that, you know, it just almost feels more like a part of the team when a guy comes on a 1 year and you see a guy like that and you understand he's there for you now. So, but no, I mean, it's obviously a little different with baseball too, is because, I mean, everybody's got their own body type. And that's something that I try to kind of explain to a lot of people. They say, well, you don't have to be in shape to play baseball. And I said, well, not if that's not who you are. You know, some guys grow up never needing to be in shape, and they understand how to keep their arms going and their bodies healthy, stretched out. It works, but what you kind of want to see you don't want to see is guys go drastically in the other direction. You know, if you saw a guy pitch heavy his whole career and then all of a sudden he comes in 50 pounds less, it's kind of like, whoa, is this guy going to be able to repeat, because it's a skill? And then vice versa with throwing on all the muscle. I mean, it's great when you're a kid and you're in high school because it only really helps. But once you get to a certain point and you throw on a ton of muscle and tighten up, you can go the other way too. So it's a little different with baseball that way.
Mike, what would the chatter be in the clubhouse about the Dodgers, you know, getting Bauer, re-signing Turner? It seems like they just won and they're kind of fired up to continue to do that. Would you guys say, well, we have just as good a chance as them, or is it like, oh wow, they're a real dangerous team?
Yeah, I mean, we love it. I mean, I think that's kind of what puts us in a category of our own, is we understand that we love competition, we love those games, and we got a ton of players that enjoy the games that they know they're gonna have to bring their A game to win. And I think most competitors do, but I think there's just more of us on this team, and we see somebody like the Dodgers, and you expect the Dodgers to make moves like that. And I mean, same with the Mets. They make moves and they're constantly improving, and so are we. And you know, you can kind of look at it as, you know, we didn't make the moves to hold up with them, but at the end of the day, I think all of us are again, we say, betting on ourselves and hoping that everybody else takes a step forward, and we think we can. I think we've got a solid core. We have for the last 3 or 4 years. We have the reigning MVP, right? You know, it's going to be things, and Alex has shown that he'll make moves throughout the season too, if need be. So, I think we're very confident going into the season that you know, we can hang with them. They obviously have a very, very good team. They're the best team in baseball last year, but we see that, and we're excited to play them. And can't wait to get out there and compete.
With Mike Soroka of the Atlanta Braves, well, you guys added Charlie Morton to your staff. He had a great year last year in Tampa, and you've got a really quality staff. And if you're back and healthy and contributing to that, You guys are going to be right there. I mean, I know the Dodgers added Bauer. They're stacked. I mean, they are who they are. But you guys aren't far behind in terms of playoff contention. You've been there the past couple of years. How do you guys kind of motivate each other within a staff? Like, if you're loaded 1 through 5 and the other four guys are cooking, how does that affect you and maybe motivate you to continue to do what you've been doing?
Oh, yeah, it pushes you even farther. We saw that on the way up. I mean, when I joined the Braves, it was basically the start of the rebuild. You know, our low-A rotation is basically in the big leagues right now, double-A as well. I mean, we pretty much have a team of kids that I came up with that I got to compete with, and it's no different up here. When you see guys that do it day in, day out, and you just want to repeat. And, you know, we see buddies that have done it. I see my roommate here, Ian Anderson, and Max Free. They come up and they do it. And you want to repeat. You want to show everybody that you can do it too. So, you know, that's awesome. But as far as motivation, like you said, I think we got it. And the Mets going out and making moves as well as the Dodgers, I think that's it right there. That should be all. That's all I need. I don't know about them, but, you know, all absolutely. I need is to know that, you know, they're the team to beat, and we want a shot to do that.
Well, we wish you nothing but success and good luck. Good luck with physicals and sprinting again and getting back to the form you were in before you got injured. And we can't wait for the season to get started. So good luck this year, Mike, and we'll do this again down the road. Thank you for this.
For sure. Thank you guys so much. Always a pleasure.
You got it, Mike. Thanks, Soroka. Mike. The pride of Calgary, Alberta. Big Mika Kiprasov fan, I believe he said back in
absolutely.
The day.
Absolutely. Why would
everyone love Kipper. Everyone.
Absolutely. And Iggy. I'm sure he loved Iggy, too.
Of course. You got him, man. I don't think anyone could dislike Iginla. Even, like, Oiler fans would dislike him in a Flame jersey, but he's from Edmonton. So even from that standpoint, you're probably like, I got to like this guy. Well, like, how can you not like him?
You know what? I think it was – I don't know how – if there's – it would be a great question. Is there – as a Leaf fan, is there somebody from Ottawa that you – respected? Because that's what I think it was. Because, you know, Alfredson, I think, but I always thought Alfie was a gray area player. I thought he was sneaky dirty.
People didn't
I thought
like
he was
him
sneaky
here.
Dirty.
He was
but like,
he was hated in Toronto.
Okay. But my point being is Jerome grew up in Edmonton, but I think people embraced that he was from Edmonton, but they were all like he would score a hat trick against the Oilers and fight Ethan Morrow and, you know, just be an absolute lunatic that night and beat the Oilers. But I think people were like, yeah, you know what? The guy's such a great player.
Oh, you got to respect.
Like, there was respect instead of people being furious with him, where there were other Edmonton area players where people just disliked. They couldn't care less.
I think Alfredson got in a fight with your boy Tucker, didn't he, or something? He beat him up.
He didn't fight him. No, he hit him from behind.
It was just
a gutless hit from behind.
It was. Now
we
that
should
it,
start
now
that
I think
rumor,
about,
though.
No, because you know who'll be texting best in friend. 5 minutes. Your new best friend will be like...
Well, they hang out in the garage, don't
no,
they?
No, I know. Isn't have you guys been in the simulator together, you and Tux?
No, we're
no?
working on that. Yeah, we'll figure something out. Yeah, no, don't disparage his reputation. That was a gutless hit from behind.
Yeah.
And I'll tell you one thing. If your first round is with your new buddy, then honestly, don't text me ever again.
That would
if
be
it's,
awesome.
If you
if
say,
Tux
hey, I got to run, I'm out with Tux, and I'm just, that's it.
That's the end of the discussion, no more back and forth. We can't ever play again. Is that what you're suggesting?
I think it's one of those things. It's like, I don't know if it's more like a girl thing because they get complicated with their relationships, but I don't want to hear about you and Tux and how you're just best buddies. I don't want to hear about it.
I actually think you do your own thing.
No.
What would be the foursome that would make your head explode? I think it would be Tux, Robs,
and Killer.
And yeah. Killer.
I can't talk right now, O-Dog. I'm with Killer, Robs, and Tux. Then I'll just say no.
Yeah,
well,
exactly.
I'm pretty sure.
For beers.
Gary Robb, I've never played golf with Gary. We almost played with him last year, right? We're the sticks, and he set us up, and it was just the two of us. He did not end up playing. But I think he might have an inn where Tucker plays, I think. I think he may even be kicking around there, sniffing around there from time to time. So that might be something I could try to set up.
Buddy, Gary Roberts does not want to play golf with you. He doesn't want to play golf with me, and I've known him for 25 years.
Well, we'll see what happens. Maybe I'll see him around the clubhouse, and we'll see if we can work something out. But why wouldn't you want to be a part of that? Why don't you?
I would. That's fine. Yeah. But if you're just going to try to big league me saying, like, if the picks come up and it's like, check this out, I can't stand that.
No. I don't. Does Gilmore play golf? I don't know if Dougie plays golf.
Yeah, Keller's a very good golfer.
Is he? I've never seen him post any pictures about that.
Because he's normal. He's normal. It's like, it's okay if there's not a picture of it.
That's 100% valid. I don't post golf pictures. I mean, go through the Instagram account. I'm not posting pictures or anything. But, okay, that's fine.
Yeah.
It's a good question, though. In Toronto, using the Jays, the Raptors, the Maple Leafs, like, was there a great player? Because it's got to be, like, the face of an organization. That's what Iginla was in Calgary, that people had the utmost respect for in terms of a big rival. You know, like, of course he had respect for Wayne Gretzky or, you know, whoever it is, Derek Jeter. Although maybe Jeter, I don't remember how the city responded to Jeter.
Well, Jefferson just wrote saying Spezza. Maybe Spezza, would Spezza be, was he a superstar, though? He was kind of a tweener.
He was pretty close. I mean, I think Alfredson was the face of that team when they were at their height. But he had a 90-point season. I think he might have hit 100 points at one point.
Too.
And he is from Toronto and grew up here, and he was an easy guy to respect for sure. I mean, people respected Spezza, I think, when he was in Ottawa.
I have the answer to it, but it's just a new, like, and you don't see him enough. It's McDavid.
Yeah, of course. Yeah.
Like, you
local
know, people,
guy, great player.
That goal against, well, even the Jake Muzzin one the other day, but the one on Morgan Riley last year, that was, I don't know, the game was out of hand at that point. It was done. It was 6-3. Like, there was a respectful clap for him when he scored that goal. Like, and I think
exactly the way to describe it, a respectful clap.
Yeah, it was a respectful clap.
Right.
Like, it was like, holy smokes, like, we just saw some greatness. This kid's a local kid. I know that night his team beat our team. But it was like, hey, we're in the presence of watching.
I think you're right. It was like celebrated, which is very rare.
Right.
Like celebrate. It's one thing if a guy's at the end of his career. I remember I went down to the Dome Jeter's last weekend in Toronto. His last weekend here, it was a September, I believe. The Yankees were up here. And it was his last three-game series. I think I went on the Saturday. His last game was on the Sunday. And it was really, really cool. Like, it was like a celebration. Mm-hmm. There goes Jeter. But that was at the end. No one was celebrating Jeter in 98. No, you know,
I think somebody just wrote me and said that there's been some playoff series with Boston. And I think the Toronto hockey fans are knowledgeable, and they can't stand losing to Boston. But I think they all have a true respect for what Patrice Bergeron does every time he steps on the ice.
Yeah, I think
Callum's
that's a good one.
Tweeting that in.
Yeah, I think you're right. Okay, well, listen, send them in. At Overdraft 1050, at Hayes 1050. If we can think of other athletes who are like the faces of their organization, great players in the orbit of, you know, rivalries with the Toronto teams that you have respect for.
And I want to get into this flight pattern this cat took. What your thoughts are.
Yes, veteran I saw you tweet about that. Okay, we'll
veteran
get to that.
Move or not.
Okay, Ray Ferraro in about 20 minutes on a Leaf game tonight. We will spin the Wheel of Misfortune at 5:30. Overdrive continues, TSN 1050 and on the TSN app. You guys see this story from Joe Buck where he admitted that he and Aikman used to drink during the games? Not get, like, polluted or anything like that, but a shot or, you know, here or there, maybe a cocktail or two.
You know who I'd like to hear from is Aikman. Like, is Aikman calling this guy saying, look, dude, no harm, no foul, but why the hell are you going there? Like, now I got to answer questions. It's like they had a drink before the game if it was cold out. Big deal. But did you really need – now everyone thinks they basically were getting, like, just hosed the whole game.
Right.
It's just – I don't know what the hell. I would be pissed at Buck. I would be like, dude, none of us were ever drunk, so why did you even have to bring that up? It's like that was our little secret. You're a moron.
Right. The imaginations are going to start really running here. And you can tell people are going to go back and find old tape or there's
that's
like
no kidding, no kidding. They're going to dissect it. And if anything in the future happens where it's like a little bobble or something, everyone's going to say, oh, they're gooned. They're gooned.
Yeah.
People are dumb. And it's just, I don't know. Well, I would
all
be
you're
pissed
doing,
at Buck.
I agree. All you're doing is opening
putting a target
a door
on yourself.
Yeah. You're opening a door you can't close because even if it was a one-off situation. He had one shot of tequila just as a celebratory or just, you know, a laugh here or there. And that's going to follow you around. and you're going to be asked that question. Aikman's going to be asked the question. And they're both professionals. They're both very good at their job. So I don't think
they're
it's that big.
They're not going anywhere. Fox doesn't really care. I can't imagine.
I don't think it's that big of a deal. But all you've done is shine a light on you yourself for no reason.
I guarantee literally. Joe Buck got a call about that.
He might have, and it would be from Aikman, I would assume. Like, hey, we're like keep it in
maybe
the room. That's
Fox
the classic.
Too, Brian. Don't
maybe
kid yourself,
Fox would
man.
Probably prefer, you know, because the NFL may not like it. That would be the concern. Is that
yes,
the
right.
And you're dealing with a new TV deal? They're on the verge of a new TV deal. I read the other day they think it could be happening in the next couple of weeks, and we're talking billions and billions and billions of dollars, and the NFL owns them,
right?
And I could see the NFL saying, we don't really need our play-by-play guys admitting that they're getting, you know, a little right. bit loose up in the box. We'll come back and get into it a little bit more with Ray. We'll tee up the Leaf game tonight. We'll spin the wheel of misfortune at 5:30. Overdrive continues, TSN 1050 and on TSN 4.